Cal.
Now, the issue of gay marriage being portrayed by the gay community is just a matter of human rights, is it?
Well, I'm very strongly of the view that it's not. It's very common in our community for us to object to discrimination of any sort, of course, and that's right and proper that we do so. We don't want people to be discriminated against on the basis of irrelevant grounds. We don't want people to be denied jobs because of their sex or their race where they're perfectly qualified for them. So those are good things. But this is a different issue. It's not the same sort of issue, even though it can be painted in that way.
So if it's not a human rights issue, what kind of an issue is it? How would you describe it?
Well, it's an issue about a fundamental status in our society that the law has recognised for many years, the question of marriage and what it means. And just to sum up my view very broadly, the fact is that it's a status that society has conferred on people who meet certain requirements. You need to be of a certain age, you need to be previously unmarried, you need to be of a certain differential gender in the partnership before the relationship has been created by the law. That's the way it's been for many years. And so it's not an act of discrimination to refuse to allow someone to enter into that relationship if they don't meet the requirements that the law has set up for that relationship.
If gay marriage was to be permitted under Australian law, would that change the nature of marriage?
Well, I think it would, yes, because for many centuries our society and the law has defined the institution of marriage in terms of a very old definition of hide and hide from back in the 19th century, a relationship between one man and one woman to the exclusion of all others voluntarily entered into for life. So there are a number of characteristics of that relationship, and if we were to extend the word marriage legally to a relationship between two people of the same sex, we would actually be fundamentally redefining the nature of marriage.
Would we be redefining an institution that's been seen this way, the way we see it now, for a long time? I mean, is this a centuries old, a sort of, you know, history of humanity sort of way of understanding marriage?
Well, certainly it is, yes. I mean, there's, as far as I'm aware, as far back into history as you go, human societies have recognised this relationship between a man and a woman and formalising that into a marriage relationship where they make a commitment to stay together as a man and a woman and to raise children together. That's been a fundamental part of human society for many, many centuries. And certainly in Western society, that's been regarded as a very foundational institution. And the interesting thing is we confer recognition on that institution because if you choose to enter into it, you actually it costs you something. You actually have to make a commitment to be faithful to this other person for the rest of your joint lives. You then, as a result of that, you are in a situation where you have stability, where the couple can raise children who are brought into that relationship. You also avoid all sorts of ongoing debates about who's going to sleep with who tonight. I mean, you basically are formalising a commitment of that sexual relationship to each other as well. So there are all sorts of societal benefits that flow from that status, and that's why our society has actually conferred a degree of respect and respectability, if you like, honour on the marriage relationship because of the costs that people endure to enter into it. We also confer certain benefits on it. But
it seems to me, the foundation of that sort of generational heritage. I mean, that the whole foundation for that great cycle of life, you know, where we are raised as children and then we get married and we have children and we see them then get married and have children and we become grandparents, that whole cycle of life seems to me to be built on a foundation of this concept.
Exactly. I mean, we need to make it quite clear, of course, that not every marriage lives up to the ideals and that people who are married can be unfaithful or we might find, without people's own fault, that a marriage might not be blessed with children and all those sorts of things. There are individual examples where marriage doesn't fulfil that broader overall social purpose, as it were. But the institution as a whole is supported by our society because of its potential for providing a solid foundation for the raising of children, for sorting out issues of sexual fidelity, and for providing, as you say, the generational foundation for ongoing future generations. So now, those are the sorts of reasons.
If we can't institute gay marriage without changing marriage, and if marriage is so foundational, we have to ask the question, why is it the gay community wants this label, wants this name applied to their relationships? What is actually going on?
It's a very interesting question, actually, and it struck me, for example, that we've got another type of relationship to which we attach certain financial and legal benefits these days, which is the de facto relationship. We have de facto relationships between heterosexual people, and over the last little while, our society's decided to extend benefits such as superannuation and various other things to those de facto relationships. And yet you don't find many people saying, well, what we should now do is change the name of that relationship to marriage, because they accept that the de facto relationship is one that doesn't involve this commitment, this ongoing commitment. And so there's that view that, yes, it's different. You know, we'll take certain benefits from it, but it's different to marriage. So then you ask the question, why are we talking about formalising relationships, sexual relationships between people of the same sex into this marriage relationship? And the only answer I can come up with is that marriage is a respected status in the community, and what is wanted from those who are angling for same-sex marriage, who are arguing for it, is that their relationship be given that same respect by the community.
So they want some kind of official approval or legitimacy or something like that for their relationships.
Exactly. One of the things we say when we authorise a legal status of marriage is this is a socially acceptable, indeed a socially honourable relationship which we're going to support. Once we extend the term marriage, we are saying relationships between people of the same sex are of that nature, and therefore we as a society are approving those relationships. Now, many people in our society will say that's fine. Others who have come at it from a different angle, or others who perhaps want to come at it from a Christian perspective, like myself, will say, well, actually, that's the Bible says that's relationship, that sexual relationship is not something that's approved by God. It's actually harmful to people, and therefore we ought not to be extending that legal recognition to that.
So to make it really clear, something that's being presented as a human rights issue is actually a kind of desperate pursuit of approval, of endorsement by the community.
That's exactly the point, I think, that it's not, whereas it's painted as, how can you discriminate against this group, it's not an issue of discrimination. It's a question that there is a desire to legitimise in the eyes of the community as a whole same-sex relationships. And there can be an argument about that, and that's a community argument that needs to be had. But if I can take a lawyer's view for a second, the onus of proof is on those who want to say we ought to extend this respected label to a new type of relationship. It needs to be, if we're going to make that change, it needs to be supported by very strong arguments about why this same-sex relationship is suitably analogous to the traditional relationship that we've recognised as marriage. And there'd be evidence need to be presented about, well, what are the reasons why we support marriage, and we do it in terms of long-term fidelity and the ability of people with a biological relationship to each other and to the children to raise the children. Are those characteristics of same-sex relationships? I think there are real issues about whether those are genuinely characteristics of same-sex relationships.